We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Hey, welcome back to It San Diego. 3:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. It's the Gwynn and Chris program. Tony is headed off to get set for tonight's broadcast. Dodgers-Padres, if you didn't know, coming up this evening from Petco Park, a 6:40 first pitch for Blake Snell. Tyler Anderson will pitch for the Dodgers. Tony will rejoin us for several segments as the program continues on here today. Got our Big Five a little bit later on, and also we have our weekly fantasy football report coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll have
not a good one though. For us.
Well, it wasn't good for anybody. Yeah, for us. We all lost our fantasy football game this week. So, if you lost fantasy football out there this past weekend, you are not alone. Taylor Rapp, starting safety for the Los Angeles Rams, the Super Bowl champs, will be on the program in this hour as well. But I wanted to let everybody know that between now and 5:30, all of you listening right now are going to have the opportunity to win a family four-pack of tickets to Thursday's Padres-Dodgers game. And that is not a day game. That is a night game. It could be a regular 6:40 start on Thursday. Final meeting of the regular season between the Padres and Dodgers. Final game of the three-game series, which starts tonight. And you'll have a chance to win four tickets to that game. All you'll have to do is call in and answer a real simple Chris Ello trivia question. Most of them are real easy, right, Scraby?
I mean, medium-ish.
Yeah, medium-ish at least. But
this is a time where you can Google. Chris, yes. The fans, no.
But you can Google, yes. These, but if you Google, you probably come up a little short because somebody will probably call in ahead of you and get the correct answer
call
before
in,
you do. But,
and then Google if you're not driving.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for giving everybody the strategy. I'm going to try to come up with a question that you can't Google.
See, I just
although that's pretty tough to do.
That is tough to do.
Padres' final homestand of the year is getting underway tonight. For ticket information, go to padres.com/tickets, or you can win four right here on the program, and we'll tell you about when your opportunity to call in and win those will be, but it'll be between now and 5:30 this afternoon. So stay tuned to this program if you would like an opportunity to go see the Padres play the Dodgers on Thursday, and who wouldn't want that? Cleveland Guardians, while I was away, Scraby, went absolutely crazy. I don't know if anybody – did anybody pay any attention to this? They won 18 of their last 21 games.
Yeah, we briefly touched on it.
Briefly touched on it. They've already wrapped up the AL Central. The Guardians were going to have a big celebration prior to their game tonight in Cleveland to celebrate the Central Division Championship. They're going to have a flag-raising ceremony and the whole thing.
Wow.
That has been canceled.
Oh, no.
Because of a rainy weather forecast in Cleveland. Now, this is interesting. The Guardians have been dodging raindrops all year long. Did you know, Scraby, the Cleveland Guardians have been rained out 10 times this year at Progressive Field?
One time against the Padres.
One time against the Padres. 10 rain outs this year. The Guardians have played a Major League High 8 doubleheaders this year.
Oh, man.
6 of which were at home. They had another postponement caused by a COVID-19 outbreak. So it has been a strange season indeed. But the Guardians, the newly named Guardians, have their first American League Central Division Championship. They won't be able to officially celebrate it until later in the week.
You know, if sitting here talking about the Padres every day, complaining about how they're not winning and everything, I get that. But can you imagine being a White Sox fan or a Twins fan? Your team was supposed to be the team to win the division, and they didn't.
Well, not the Twins, not so much. I mean, not as much as the White Sox.
But they were in the conversation because of Carlos Correa,
right.
But the White Sox were World Series contenders.
I thought the White Sox would win the World Series, so that shows you where I'm at. They've lost six games in a row now, the White Sox, and they've fallen a game under 500. But let's not speak too ill of the White Sox. Padres still have to play them three games this weekend, and it looks like Chicago is completely out of it now. I mean, they can't catch Cleveland for the division title because they're 10 games back with less than 10 games to play. And they're now ridiculous 7.5 games behind Seattle for the wild card. So you're right, Scraby. The White Sox are without question baseball's most disappointing team this year. I think the Red Sox are pretty close by. They've already been eliminated from playoff contention. Some would say the Giants would have to qualify as a disappointment this year because they did win 107 games
last
year.
They set the bar really high for themselves.
But they set it too high last year. Everybody knew they were going to come back to earth. But the fact that they are under 500, I think, would be a bit of a surprise to some people. I think those are the three most disappointing teams in baseball this year. You could probably make a case for a couple of others, but White Sox, Red Sox, Giants would probably be the top three in terms of disappointment. There's some other teams, a la Texas, which was bad last year but spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, maybe they could have expected to be better, but I think those are the three. Now, how about the other side of the coin? Who are the three most surprising teams in baseball this year?
Well, Guardians are one.
Guardians have to be one. That's a great call right there. I mean, they win the division. Many people picked them last this year in the AL Central. Terry Francona is probably going to get the Manager of the Year vote. The Baltimore Orioles have to be considered a major
Very
surprise.
Very much so.
I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, or at least they're unlikely. They're 3.5 games behind Seattle as we head down the stretch. But this is a Baltimore team that won 52 games last year. They won 80 this year.
Yeah.
80 and 73. They're not just a little over 500. They're a solid 7 games over 500. So you'd have to consider the Baltimore Orioles, the Cleveland Guardians, and who in the National League has been a surprise?
Yeah, I'm looking through all the teams. I'm
the Diamondbacks, just because they were so bad last year. Because you look at the teams that are contending for the playoffs right now, there's 7 teams competing for 6 spots. All 7 teams were basically expected to compete for the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Braves, Mets, Phillies.
I'm not seeing a team on the National
Cardinals
League side.
And Brewers, the Dodgers, and the Padres were all considered, expected to compete.
I guess the Reds, because they're going to not finish possibly in the last place in the Central, because remember in the year they had won like 2 games through like 24 or something like that?
They were 2-23 or something like that.
Yeah, something
to start
crazy.
The season.
And they've won 60 games. That's some good baseball being played, Chris.
Some really good baseball. They've gone like 58 and 100 since the beginning of the season. That's really good.
The Angels we haven't talked about. I mean,
yeah, they've
the
been
Angels
a major
have been
disappointment.
Major disappointment.
But they're always a major disappointment.
That's true.
I mean, that's just like the yearly story at this time is how does a team with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani finish 20 games under 500?
I don't know.
But there they have it. Yeah, as far as surprise teams, National League, I don't think really has any. I don't think there's anybody in the National League that's a surprise.
I don't think so either.
So the American League would get both surprise teams, the Orioles and the Guardians. All right, let's get to some results, winners, losers around the sports world. We call it the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into The Daily Gambit, I want to remind everyone that if you would like a chance to win a baseball signed by a Padres player, you can listen for the keyword around 3:40-ish, so 30 minutes from now, entered at 97.3thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win. So just in about 30 minutes or so.
I didn't realize how many of those baseballs you stole from Peoria.
I didn't steal.
Brought back San Diego with you.
I didn't steal.
We've been giving those things away now for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And I brought home a ton of baseballs. And so I'm
you
glad.
You did, man.
I'm glad that we are making good use of them.
I really didn't realize you'd taken so many.
I didn't either, Chris.
Well, good for you.
Yes. So last night, the parlay of the day from Ibrahim, it was plus 1,006, Chris. And
wow, that's a long shot.
That is a long shot, but one of the legs of the bet was for Saquon Barkley to have 81 or more rushing yards plus a touchdown. And that did happen, Chris.
He did. Very good.
He had 81 exact rushing yards.
And he needed 81?
And he needed 81, and he needed a touchdown. So that long run that he had definitely helped Ibrahim.
Those odds makers are pretty good.
They are very good. That was a plus 210 bet on its own. Now, Ibrahim also chose total score over 38.5. Giants lost, but it was 23-16, 39 points.
He went over. So he hit both of those by the thinnest of margins.
The hair of his chinny chin chin.
As they say.
And the final leg. To complete the parlay of the day, he had the New York Giants on the money line, so it fails. And Ibrahim is just one of the many that has failed at the parlay of the day.
Are we still stuck on two winners?
Yes.
Over the entire time we've been doing this?
Yes, yes.
All right.
So here's tonight's parlay of the day. But first, the Daily Gambit is brought to you by On Deck Small Business Loans. Now, our first female submitted parlay of the day, Chris, from Nicole.
All right.
I encourage
Nicole,
everyone out there
you,
to get into it. I'm very happy that Nicole reached out.
Rooting for you.
Yes. Here is the parlay for her. Leg one, Blake Snell over 7.5 strikeouts tonight in the game.
Okay.
I think that's a good chance.
It's doable.
As long as
he's throwing strikes, he'll get that many strikeouts.
Exactly. Ha-Sung Kim is over 1.5 total bases from hits. This one has always been tough, Chris. This one has always been very
tough. Got to have two hits?
You got to have, I guess a double works, right?
Oh, it's 1.5 total bases.
Total bases, yes.
Okay, a double will work, yes. But it seems easier
to
do than it actually is.
It's really not at all easy. I found that out the hard way many, many times. Then the third leg, and I appreciate this because you get one shot at the parlay of the day, Chris. And if you're going to make it interesting, you could win and everybody will remember you. The final leg is for the there to be a blown save in the game either side. Doesn't matter if it's the Dodgers or the Padres, but if someone blows a blown save.
What are the odds on that alone?
Plus 300, actually.
300, so it's 3-1 against that happening.
Yes. So, Blake Snell over 7.5 strikeouts, Ha-Sung Kim over 1.5 total bases, and a blown save in the game. So, that's Nicole's parlay.
All right, Nicole, go get him.
Yeah.
You can become just a third person to be successful on a Daily Gambit parlay.
Yes.
That would be quite a feather in your cap if it happens for you.
That would be a feather in the cap for sure. With that blown save in there,
yeah,
that's historic. That's Hall of Fame type stuff right there.
Nicole, you go right into the Hall of Fame.
Right into it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to cover this real quick. After week three, the teams, are the odds to win the Super Bowl, Buffalo's still number one, plus 450. Philadelphia's moved all the way up to plus 850. Kansas City is the second best with plus 800. And then Tampa and Green Bay, both plus 1,000. I don't know what these odds makers are watching, but Tampa and Green Bay do not look like Super Bowl teams. I know that they have Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, but I just don't see them going to the Super Bowl. I don't see them.
They don't look great. They don't look great. Yeah. I'd agree with that. That game the other day was kind of a dud between Tampa Bay and Green Bay. The Rams are not above either of them.
No.
That's surprised by that. I'm only not asking for myself, but the Miami, did they
not
have
in the
any
top
love?
Five? Not in the top five.
Oh, you didn't go beyond the top five.
No, I didn't go beyond the top five.
Yeah, I don't think Miami belongs in the top five. I'm just curious to see where they are. I know that ESPN put out its power rankings today for this week.
Oh, yeah?
Ridiculous.
Where did they put the Dolphins?
One. I mean, they're not the best team in football. All you had to do was watch the game the other day to know they're not the best team in football.
Where were they before?
They were about six.
Okay, I think that they can move into the top five with a win over Buffalo, but jumping to number one is crazy.
That's a little crazy. I mean, Buffalo outgained them 500-200. I mean,
that
that's a little crazy. I mean, if you watch that game, You know, Buffalo made so many mistakes. They mismanaged the clock at the end of the first half. They screwed up the clock at the end of the game.
Man, did they ever. They missed Ken Dorsey lost his mind.
Ken Dorsey lost his mind.
He apologized, by the way.
Yeah. They didn't take advantage of the butt punt.
The butt punt.
Miami gave them the butt punt, and they still didn't take advantage of it. They also dropped a pick six interception,
which would have
turned the game around. So Buffalo, it was a million things happened for Miami to win that game. But you know, Miami's obviously much better. I mean, you know, they've won three pretty impressive games so far this year. But to say that they're the number one team in football, I don't think anybody really believes that.
What do you think about the two former quarterbacks who were vindicated and released from the jail, the Twitter jail that they've been in for the last couple of years? Mark Sanchez gets a butt punt now to go along
with his butt fumble.
Exactly.
He was upset about it. He said, hey, don't be messing with my territory.
Yeah, exactly. I love that because he's leaning into it. Yeah. And then you have Dan Orlovsky, who is freed, I guess, from his running out of the back of the end zone
because Jimmy G
did it.
Yeah, he's not alone in the running out of the back of the end zone. Jimmy G saved a pick six.
He threw a pick six, but he also saved his own pick six.
He saved his own pick six by stepping out of the end zone first. It was a crazy weekend indeed in the NFL, and there's only two unbeaten teams left.
I know,
after
the Dolphins
game last night
and the Eagles.
It's an Ace Ventura Pet Detective Super Bowl.
I do love that.
Remember that? Ventura, that's who the Super Bowl game was at the very end. Dan Marino was being held hostage and couldn't get to the game for the Dolphins-Eagles Super Bowl. That was going to be played
movie.
In Ace Ventura Pet Detective. By the way, if the Dolphins and the Eagles do play in the Super Bowl, just a quick note, they met in the final preseason game this year.
Well, who won?
Miami won 48-10.
Wow.
So you can say that helped carry Miami.
Yes.
But it also seemed to help carry Philadelphia, even though they got beat by 38 points in their final preseason game. So, all right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, my Aztecs won on Saturday, and I tweeted about that, and I received nothing but grief for my tweet.
I didn't see this tweet.
I want a little explanation from some of you out there. We'll check it out when we return after we check out traffic on Gwen and Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:23 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be rejoining us in the 4 o'clock hour for our fantasy football segment, also the Big 5, which comes up a little later on. Right now he's getting prepared for tonight's broadcast along with Jesse Agler, the Padres, and the Dodgers. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Pfizer and BioNTech. Charging a cell phone can be like getting a booster shot. A booster is given to enhance or restore protection after a primary series vaccination, which wanes over time. Schedule an appointment when you are eligible, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech. So I'm traveling this weekend, Scraby, and Saturday I checked the phone, late fourth quarter, Aztecs up 10-0. And I thought, okay, sounds like a nice performance.
That's exactly what I thought.
Defense
too has
this game shut down. And then check back about 10 minutes later, 14-10, Toledo. And then I'm thinking, man, the Aztecs are going to need a clutch drive. And they got one.
They did.
Braxton Burmeister put together a clutch drive, running and passing and getting the Aztecs downfield into a 17-14 victory over Toledo the other day, a game in which they were underdog coming in.
Oh, I talked about that a lot.
They were underdog.
On Friday.
They were not even favored to win this game. They were underdog, and they end up winning the game. And so all I tweeted out was, nice win by my Aztecs today. And I'm telling you, I don't know when Aztec fans got so self-important that they feel like they can be critical of victories.
Yeah. I'm going to the tweet. I got to read some of these responses.
I understand that the Aztecs only passed for 65 yards. I understand that they ran a draw play on 3rd and 22, and people got upset about that. But look, you can't be complaining about style points if you're a San Diego State football fan. Have we forgotten where this program was before Brady Hoke got here the first time around?
Yes.
Before turning it over to Rocky Long? Have we forgotten that the Aztecs in 5 of the last 6 college football seasons have won 10 or more games? Not just once have they won more than 10 or more games, or twice. 5 of the last 6 full seasons, they've won 10 or more games. They won 11, 11, 10. Then they won 7-6. Then they won 10. Then you had the COVID seasons. I'm not really going to count that because they only played 8 games.
Yeah.
And then they won 12 last year. They're 2-2 this year. Have they been, you know, a beautiful offensive machine? Absolutely not. But Jordan Bird did average 7.2 yards per carry the other day. Their running game looks pretty solid. Burmeister is definitely a threat to run. They got to figure something out in the pass game. There's no question about it. The Aztecs have thrown, get this, Scraby, for 295 yards.
Oh, in a game?
This season.
Oh.
295 in 4 games. That's it. That's their entire passing output. So, obviously, it's got to get better. I understand that Will Haskell transferred because he didn't like the situation he was in. It seems like almost everybody's on Will Haskell's side. Looking at the comments that I read, at least on Twitter, it's like, well, he's transferring because there's something wrong with this program. Maybe he's transferring because he's kind of a quitter and he didn't get the kind of job he thought he was going to get. I don't know for sure everything that went into this and all behind it, but why is everybody giving up on Brady Hoke so quickly? That's what I'd like to know. All Brady Hoke has done since he took over as coach of San Diego State is win and win and win some more. And he was 12-2 last year. And this team is a work in progress like a lot of college football teams are. They haven't played a single conference game yet. They're taking on Boise State this weekend, who, oh, by the way, lost to UTEP last weekend and had their starting quarterback transfer just today. As a matter of fact,
oh, wow.
The Boise State quarterback, not Burmeister, that's the Aztec starting quarterback. Let me get the correct last name of the Bachmeier.
Oh, close enough to Burmeister.
Yeah, close enough to Burmeister. Bachmeier is going to enter the transfer portal after he was pulled from the game the other night during a loss to UTEP. So, you know, at San Diego State is not the only place where guys transfer in and out of the program. That is a pretty common occurrence now in college sports. Is the Aztec football team and program perfect? No. But what are we complaining about? This Aztec football team has brought nothing but success ever since Brady Hoke and Rocky Long were part of this thing. And the fact that they're 2-2, and now people are complaining about a win.
I
don't get it.
Here's what you missed.
What did I miss? Because I wasn't here. So tell me.
This was the conversation last week. There was a press conference with the Aztecs, and Kirk Kenny asked them, why do quarterbacks keep transferring out of your program? And the answer was along the lines of, well, they wanted to leave. That's the question. Why are all these quarterbacks wanting to leave? It doesn't seem like the Aztecs have a huge quarterback backup of guys that need to play, and I don't know why guys are leaving the team. It doesn't seem like it needs to be addressed.
Is it possible that Lucas Johnson, last year's starting quarterback, saw the writing on the wall when Burmeister transferred in?
That could be it, yes.
Is it possible that Will Haskell, when he came to San Diego State, felt that he would maybe sit in the shadows behind Lucas Johnson, and once his career was over, he would get a shot to be the starter?
Sure,
changed when Braxton Burmeister came in.
It could be, yes. We don't know that. We don't know.
It seems sensible to me that could be an explanation. I don't know. I'm not there.
I know that transferring right and left in and out of college football programs, every kid who plays quarterback in the Division I level thinks that they're a starting quarterback. And if they're not starting, they're looking for the next starting opportunity. I don't know.
If I'm the Aztecs,
I would rather give Brady Hoke the benefit of the doubt based on everything that he and the Aztecs have accomplished in the last decade, as opposed to so quickly giving up on him and this team. Now, they could finish 2-10 this year and never pass for 50 yards in a game. I don't know. Maybe it'll never improve. Maybe Jeff Heklinski will never get this offense cranked up. But I've seen this Aztec team start slowly in September in the past and then reel off a bunch of wins and wind up as a Mountain West champion. I don't know that that'll happen this year or not, but I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to a team that has won 10 or more games in 5 of the last 6 years.
And I do want to make this clear, because every time we've talked about this in the last week, I've made it clear that I do not think Brady Hoke is up to shady business. I don't think, we don't know what happened, so I'm not taking that stance. I just think that when you have so many guys transferring out and wanting to leave, I think that you have to look at what are we doing that these guys just don't want to be here anymore. And
well, I don't know. All I know is Brady Hoke is an old school type coach who wants accountability from his guys.
And I think and maybe that a lot of guys, that's fair for him to and demand.
And if you ask me, a lot of the kids growing up in this day and age are a little soft. And they
I'm not going to disagree with some of that.
Yeah, all right. They don't want to be put on the bench. They don't want to be made second string. They don't want to work hard enough to get first string. I don't know. I'm going to stick up for Brady Hoke and what he has done in the past with this team. And I hope that they go into Boise this weekend on Friday night and they kick their tail and they get this offense cranked up. Because really the only thing, there's one thing that this team is missing. That's a passing game. Their defense is excellent. Their running game is fine. Their special teams are great. Browning had 8 punts inside the 20-yard line
Mountain
the
West,
other day.
Special teams player
eight
of the week.
8 punts inside the 20-yard line? That's winning football. And the offense, as bad as it was on Saturday, when it absolutely positively had to have it, they went all the way down the field and won the game. So, look, am I thrilled with the San Diego State team? Does it look like it's going to go to the Cotton Bowl? No. But you know what? Let's just see how this all turns out before we write the final chapter on Brady Hoke and the Aztecs.
Okay. I agree.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams starting safety Taylor Rapp is going to join the program. We will talk some football with him when we continue on Gwynn and Chris. Welcome back to the program. 3:38 is the time. Opportunity right now for you to win a baseball signed by a Padres player. That's a Podograph baseball.
Yes!
Scraby's so excited that I said that word. The key word is coming your way right about now. And the key word is pitch, P-I-T-C-H. I was looking really hard through the copy to find the word. But luckily, I found it.
I was going
before the time ran out on me.
Desperately Scraby. Back to the sheet just in case.
I was like, "Oh my God, what is the word?" Pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Enter that at our website, 973thefanst.com/autographs, and you will have a chance to win a baseball signed by a Padres player. The keyword today is pitch. All right, Taylor Rapp, Super Bowl champion with the Los Angeles Rams, going to join us in just a sec, but let's first check traffic. All right, Taylor Rapp is a starting safety for the Los Angeles Rams and won a Super Bowl last year, had a big game in the Super Bowl, 7 tackles, 4 solo tackles. Taylor Rapp, a young player out of the University of Washington, already a Super Bowl champion, and he's representing the Q Collar. The only FDA-cleared sports equipment proven to help protect the brain from repetitive head impacts. And so Taylor's going to talk with us, talk a little bit about that here on Gwynn and Chris. Taylor, how are you today? Thanks so much for being on the show.
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
We're doing very great. Good. Very good. I'm going to just tell you in advance that my co-host, Matt Scraby, likes the 49ers. So before we go too far into this interview, Taylor, I just want you to know,
you and I are going to be teaming up on him for the next 20 minutes here.
No. Yes, I was going to keep that out of it. I can keep Rams, it out of it.
The Rams are going to take on the 49ers in their next game on Monday night. But, Taylor, first of all, let's talk a little bit about this Q collar that you represent. I think it's very interesting. You know, a lot of us saw the extra padding on the helmets when maybe we watched Hard Knocks in the off season, or we were at, you know, saw some highlights of training camp. It's nice to know that the league is serious about trying to help prevent, you know, repetitive head impacts. And this product is one that has already been cleared and can certainly have an impact in that, in the right direction.
Right. No, you're completely right there. I mean, you were talking about the Guardian caps that you saw all preseason.
Yeah.
And you know, a few guys around the league are starting to wear the collar, and you know, I've been wearing the collar ever since the off season workouts and OTAs, and you know, I can't say how much I absolutely love the thing. You know, I actually suffered a pretty severe concussion last year in the last game of the regular season against the Niners, missed all playoffs, was able to actually fortunate enough to come back for the Super Bowl. And so, really my agent kind of, you know, tapped me into the Q collar this off season and, you know, just, reached out to me and, you know, told me all about it. You know, obviously it's very research backed. Like you said, it's FDA cleared. And you know, I've been wearing it since OTAs and I've been absolutely loving it. You know, it's really supposed to help protect against, you know, like you said, all the repetitive head trauma impact. But really, even like, you know, the biggest thing I noticed with it, and the happiest I've been about it is really the next day, the next morning. Usually, you know, after a game, you know, Monday morning waking up, you know, usually you feel like you got hit by a train or a truck, and you know, your neck is just so sore. But actually, ever since I've been wearing the collar these first three games, I've been waking up every Monday morning, feel like I haven't even played in a football game. So that's been outstanding and amazing, just right there.
Now, is this just real quick on this Q collar? Is this something that, you know, is just kind of starting to make the rounds now? Is it something that, you know, I'm curious because we have a lot of parents who listen and their high school kids play football, or even their young people are playing football. Is it something that's available to people yet? Is it something that's kind of become getting more popular? Is it, we have to spread the word on it a little bit?
Yeah. No, I would say this is probably the first year where you're probably actually starting to see it, you know, in college and the pros. But you know, it's available for sale on the Q30 website. But definitely this year, you know, definitely starting to pick up a lot more, and you know, you'll see guys around the league wearing it, you know, on Saturdays as well as college football.
We're talking to Rams safety Taylor Rapp here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, and I want to go back to the Super Bowl because that's number one, awesome that you got to play in a Super Bowl, but also you had 7 tackles in the game, which was just one off the team lead. So you had a pretty good Super Bowl. And on this show over the last 4 years, we've talked about the Super Bowl hangover before, and we think that there might be something to it, but your team right now is 2-1. So it doesn't really look like it's been a factor, but how do you think your team is different and won't fall into the Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear about it all the time, from past Super Bowl winners, and you know, how can you replicate what you did last year? And, you know, for us, the Rams, you know, I think the biggest thing from our culture and from what we're trying to do this year is, you know, we understand last year was, you know, last year, and, you know, whatever we accomplished was great. But, you know, this year is a completely different year. And, you know, we have a lot of additions to the team. We have a lot of losses to the team. And so really, you know, I would just say what we're doing from a team perspective is, you know, leaving last year and last year's past, and, you know, just trying to focus on this year, because, you know, this year is obviously very different. And, you know, just not trying to do too much, not trying to, you know, go out there and, you know, repeat as champions or anything like that. You know, just taking it day by day, game by game, week by week, and really just controlling what we can control internally. That's, you know, that's all that matters.
Taylor Rapp is with us, starting safety for the Los Angeles Rams, a Super Bowl champion. He had five tackles, solo tackles, in the victory over Arizona this past weekend that propelled the Rams to 2-1. And, yeah, obviously, Taylor, I mean, after you beat the 49ers, then it's onward and upward from there. But talk a little bit about the wake-up call you guys got in Game 1. Buffalo came in and stole a little of your Super Bowl thunder in that first game. Was that a matter of Buffalo pretty good, or Rams were not so good that night?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of both. You know, obviously, as a team, you know, in all three phases, really, offense, defense, and special teams, you know, we left a lot of plays out there. And, you know, obviously there were a lot of plays that we wish we could have back, and we know what we're capable of in all those three phases. But also at the same time, like you said, you know, great Buffalo team, you know, they're not a bad team in their self. So it's, you know, definitely very talented Buffalo team that came in and, you know, whooped our butts on Sunday night football, or actually Thursday night football, to open up the season. But, you know, I think a little bit of both, like you said.
Talking to Taylor Rapp, the Los Angeles Rams safety, here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Make sure you check out the Q Caller, because that is what he is wearing, and some of the other NFL players as well, to help with brain injuries and repetitive head impacts. But coming up against the 49ers, it's a Monday Night Football game. I'm coming in peace. I am just asking you, what is it about the 49ers team that gives the Rams such a hard time?
Yeah, I you know, I think they're just a very well-coached, tough, physical team. And for whatever reason, you know, whenever the Rams play the Niners, you know, it's always a game of the century that always goes down to the wire. You know, I think they're obviously, like I said, just a very well-coached team. You know, they do things the right way. They're very physical. You know, they come out there, punch you in the mouth, and, you know, just try to out physical you. And, you know, just a great team in itself. So it'll be a fun matchup on Monday night.
Yeah, the one thing about the 49ers, they themselves are a very tough, physical team. Their fans are a little wimpy.
Stop.
Oh, sorry, Scraby. I didn't mean to take a little shot at you there. Last thing, Taylor, before we let you go, I'm just curious, your career, how did you become a safety? Is that something that did you play any offense? Did you play any corner growing up, or college, high school, whatever? How does safety wind up being your spot? And what's the, in your mind, the key to playing, you know, a good NFL safety? To me, one of the things that would be a key is just to be a little bit crazy back there and just have the ability to run around and hit anything that moves.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You're not far off. I think you got to have a little maniac, a little like crazy in you. To definitely, you know, be out there and, you know, play recklessly, have that kind of style of play, which, you know, just going back to, you know, wearing the Q collar, I think, you know, the Q collar gives me that extra confidence and that peace of mind to play that reckless style that you kind of have to play with. You can't be out there as a defensive player, especially a safety, you know, playing scared or, you know, playing timid or anything. You gotta have that confidence. And so, you know, just wearing the Q collar, you know, just gives me that extra peace of mind and that extra confidence to, you know, play with that maniac style in me. But, you know, going back to your first question about how I actually became a safety, or, you know, that became my position. You know, I think going back to high school or youth football, you know, I think I played mostly every position, you know, played offense, obviously, growing up. And, you know, everyone wants to play offense growing up because you score touchdowns and, you know, you get all the glory and stuff. But, you know, defensive players never get enough glory. But, you know, I played most all positions, receiver, running back, quarterback. And, you know, I played at a small high school up in Bellingham, Washington. And so, you know, I kind of played everything, played quarterback, running back, receiver, play some linebacker, play some corner, basically whatever the coach needed me to do that given day or night. I was able to play. And I started getting recruited in late in my high school career, and I think safety just ended up being the position that I guess I best projected as to get to the next level. And once I realized that, that was the position that, I would probably have the best chance at making it to the next level playing D1 football. I kind of tried to master it as much as I could, and honed in on that one position. And I guess here we are today, just trying to master that, as much as possible.
Well, Taylor, thanks so much for the time, and thanks so much for putting this time into the cue collar. I think it's important right now with all the young people that are listening out there who love to play football, their parents. Definitely take some time to check out this cue collar. Find it online and Google it, whatever you got to do. Try to, allow your kids a chance to be as healthy as possible out there playing the game of football. Good on you for promoting that, Taylor, and good on you for your Super Bowl championship, and best of luck. Especially this Monday night, where everybody on this program will be rooting for number 24 and the Rams.
I'm still going to root for him, okay?
You're going to still root for him?
Yes.
Sure you are.
Yes, I am.
Hey,
unless,
Taylor,
unless you pick six us at the
that.
End of the game
I
or something.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just saying thank you guys so much for having me on, though. It was a great time. Thank you.
We enjoyed it a lot. Good luck to you, Taylor. Appreciate the time. Taylor Rapp right there, starting safety for the Los Angeles Rams, and a Super Bowl champion who, wouldn't that be something if he just, little Jimmy G duck over the middle Monday night? He picks it off, he's running down the field, and you'd be going, no!
I do. I mean, you got to admit sometimes that we definitely, once you talk to someone, I'm going to look out for him the rest of the year and then his career, even though in Taylor Rapp's in his 10th year and he's not playing. He's trying to find a team. I'll be like, I interviewed that guy one time.
I remember that guy, yeah. He just joined us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. That's Taylor Rapp. You can save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Wish we had a little more time with him. I really wanted to ask him, although they probably haven't really gotten into their major preparation for Monday night yet. It's a little early. It's Tuesday. Today's probably their day off.
Today is their day off.
So, yeah, they'll be back in there tomorrow. But yeah, I'm just curious, what does he think about getting into the mind of Jimmy G? Because that, as a safety, that's what you have to be. And he said you have to be kind of crazy. You have to fly around recklessly back there. But I think safety is much of a mental game as anything else. You have to be in the right spot on the field. You have to know where you want to go. You have to really study the opposing quarterback and receivers and formations so that you can be in the right place at the right time. Because often a safety isn't just assigned to one man. A cornerback, here's your guy, go cover him.
Yeah. He's a strong safety too, which means that he's always lined up.
He's got to come up and force the run.
Exactly. He's on the side that everybody's coming at usually.
Yeah. Which, well, he also got to learn alongside Eric Weddle last year.
That's true.
Which I bet you helped him quite a bit, because playing with Eric Weddle will help anybody.
I wish in another lifetime, if I had the right physical tools, Chris, I would have loved to be a safety.
Safety
would have been so fun.
The way these guys run around and target's a wrong word. That's a bad word in the NFL.
Yeah,
I don't
it's
mean
not
target,
targeting. It's just
the
way
they're able to hit their targets with these tackles and hard hits and dislodge the football. Come up and stop the run, get back downfield, knock away an 80-yard pass.
See, I like these guys. And we're not talking about the cue caller because we're promoting it. Well, he was promoting it, but I like that they're putting different thoughts into this. And how this works, it applies pressure, apparently, to the jugular vein in the neck, and it increases blood volume in the head, which reduces the brain's movement upon impact, which is...
I know one thing. If I had a kid who was playing, defensive back, even in Pop Warner,
I'm doing this.
I'd be looking for this cue collar and finding out how it can maybe help my son or daughter play a little football.
For sure.
Because, there can't possibly be a single parent out there who, doesn't get a little nervous.
I know parents
can get hurt.
Will not let their kids play football because of that reason. So,
well, cue collar hopefully will help down the road. We got to step aside. Chris versus the Fans is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.